Paths to Parenthood podcast is designed to support those needing to use a donor to build their family. I'm Becky, also known as Defining Mum, and I'm also the founder of Paths to Parenthood. I'm the mum to three amazing girls, all thanks to egg donation.
And I'm Hayley King, the founder of All Things Donor Conception. I'm both a donor-conceived person and, in a twist of fate, the parent of donor-conceived children with my lovely wife.
Our aim is to open up conversations about this incredible route to parenthood, focusing on some of the nuances and complexities that it can bring.
Our hope is to provide different perspectives, information, reflection, and validation as we openly discuss different topics, share stories, and ask you for your input.
We hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to the Paths to Parenthood podcast. I'm Becky, and I'm joined again today by my lovely co-host, Hayley. Hi, Hayley.
Hi, Becky.
And today we're going to be focusing on the topic of talking to your child. So with Paths to Parenthood this year, we are having a different theme for each month where we're going to be focusing on a particular topic relating to donor conception and bringing you even more resources, conversations and guidance around that particular topic. Now, I'm very aware that we missed our podcast in February. February was the most crazy month, so we didn't get round to recording, but we know that some of you have been waiting since our last episode in January for the next one, so really sorry if you've been waiting for this to drop, but we've had some time today, so we're going to talk about the topic of talking to your child. But firstly, we want to let you know about something that we're really excited about. It's going to be our next event. And actually, this time, our event isn't going to be in person, so it won't be restricted to those within the local area. It's open to anyone, wherever you are in the world and wherever you are on your donor conception journey. So at the end of April, on the 27th of April, it is International Donor Conception Awareness Day. And we thought, what better day to host our very first Paths to Parenthood virtual summit, where we'll be coming together for a whole afternoon, UK time, but also be the morning if you're in the US, to really talk about all of the different topics relating to donor conception, to give you almost a real taster for some of the conversations actually that you get within Paths to Parenthood. So Hayley, I know this is something that you've been working on with me. Tell us a little bit more about what people can expect in joining this virtual summit.
Yeah, thanks, Becky. And yeah, like, just to reiterate what you said, super excited. It's going to be the first virtual event that we're hosting. We've had some really successful in-person events with Paths to Parenthood, so we're super excited to bring this virtual offering, I suppose, to reach more people. And yeah, I think people can expect to sit down and really take time, I suppose, to digest all of the conversations that we're going to be having. So we're going to be having recipient parent panel from families from lots of different family setups and experiences. We're going to have a donor conceived person panel too. Similarly, donor conceived people that have had a range of experiences. And I think what we feel strongly about, don't we, Becky, on the Hub, is people learning through talking with others and seeing how things have maybe worked well for them or things that maybe they've struggled with and what we can learn from. So those are the two key areas of the event. But we've also got so many other inputs from professionals in the field talking about some of the key problems or some of the key issues that our community faces. So yeah, there's so much planned for the day, and we can't wait for people to join us.
Yeah, I'm really excited because we have got some amazing speakers within the panels, and I think whatever your story, there'll be someone that you can relate to. We've also got our amazing perinatal psychologist who is a regular on Paths to Parenthood, Julianne Boutaleb, and she's going to be talking all about some of the kind of the main emotional aspects of donor conception, things such as genetic loss, managing your emotions, and also attachment and bonding as well. And then we've also got Dr. Avi Perlman, who is a child psychologist, who's going to be talking all about how we talk to our children as they develop and kind of best prepare ourselves. And I think that's the ultimate aim, really. The theme for this year is around centering the voices of those that are donor conceived. And what we really want to do through Paths to Parenthood and this event is to allow parents to best support themselves so that they can be in the best position to best support their children. That's a lot of best using one sentence there. But I think the main part of it, and I think it's always the most popular part of our in-person events, is that donor conceived panel. And actually having you, Hayley, as a donor conceived person hosting that panel, it really allows us to explore with context and nuance and ground to stories around how those people have or haven't been supported, and learn actually as parents what we can do to apply those learnings to our own children. And I just think that is so valuable, and we're always so grateful for anyone who shares their story with us, but particularly those who are donor conceived, that almost allow us to pave a way for our children that is based on previous experiences and learnings as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Becky. And I think even, like you say, you've mentioned the panel there, which is always like something that everybody always looks forward to listening there with the voices of donor conceived people. But even the professional input that we've got, like you mentioned, Dr. Avi. Dr. Avi actually works in the UK with families and donor conceived people directly. That's her sort of her job, if you like, her day-to-day job. So yeah, we're really, like I say, we're always keen to make sure donor conceived voices are centered, or I think, like I say, we make sure that it's a key part of the day. And like I say, I'm super excited with everything we got planned. And I think the idea is that people can hopefully block out some time, maybe sit down with a partner if they've got one, and really spend a few hours really absorbing all of the content. It's not going to be, hopefully not going to be too of a heavy day. It's going to be lots of really insightful stories and hopefully provide some real insight into our donor conceived families and what we can be doing, I suppose, moving forward. So yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. And I think if you're there thinking, oh, I've already got plans on the 27th of April, because we know lots of people do, it's spring and yeah, everyone's out and about. We are also allowing, if you have a ticket, you can access the recordings for 2 weeks after the event. So if you can't make the date, it doesn't mean that you can't come along. You can't benefit from this kind of amazing set of speakers that we've put together. So yeah, I think we are, at time of record, planning to have tickets available now.
Yeah.
But yeah, just hoping things go to plan, but we just can't wait to announce the lineup of speakers. And yeah, can't wait to hear from you, because every time we host an event, for those who are coming along to the event, we always reach out and say, what do you want to hear us talk about? So there's the option for you to also input into the day. And actually at the end of the day, we're going to have kind of more of an informal opportunity to chat with Hayley and I. We may have a glass of wine with us at the time to celebrate.
May? I think I will.
Through the whole event. We will. Yeah. Yeah, so you feel free to also bring a glass, and just a bit more of a social side of things at the end. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. We think it's going to be a really impactful day, and it's just amazing to be able to not have to put a limit on numbers, because I know we've sold out for previous in-person events. And yeah, just to say that anyone is welcome, and we'd love to have you there. So that's the first bit, I think, talking about the event, because we wanted to get that in because we're really, really excited. But moving on to the topic of talking to our children, and obviously, Hayley, we're both parents, and we're parents of children probably of similar ages. So Mila now is 7, she'll be 8 in July. Esker and Lena are now 6, and yours are, I think,
they're nearly 7, yeah. So they're kind of in between your girls, really. I've got twins, so obviously Quinn and Adia, and yeah, they're 7 this summer now, so similar ages.
Yeah, so we're kind of moving into that area we were just talking, weren't we, where we've been through the storybook phase, and they're all pretty much now probably reading for themselves, and we've kind of done that introduction with the help of storybooks, and we will talk about storybooks in a moment. But now we're moving into a stage of, I think, we're still finding our feet, and there's probably less of a script in terms of a book that you can use. But for me, I think the next steps are about how we get them to understand what it means, so they can say the mummy's eggs were broken, we needed help from another person, and there was a lady who did a very kind thing in giving us some eggs, which helped make them, and that they are made with our donor's eggs and Matt's sperm. We're starting to move from seed to sperm now.
Okay.
And that mummy grew them and brought them into the world. And obviously the phrase we always use is, mummy couldn't make you with her eggs, but mummy made you with her heart. And kind of Esker still repeats that to me now. But for me, I think the next critical stage is really getting them to understand what that means in terms of their genetics, their DNA, and what this person, who is just probably more of a concept in their mind at the moment, actually is a real human being and actually is out there. And also for me, having used an anonymous donor, I think there's an element of managing expectations within that, and kind of almost acknowledging that they may have questions about her and maybe wondering with them, rather than just saying, oh, we don't know. So yeah, I mean, Hayley, whereabouts would you say you are with your children at the moment?
I would say very similar. I think over the last few years, we've relied very heavily on children's storybooks, just to kind of get comfortable with the language. And we always say, don't we, actually part of that process is getting us comfortable as parents. Children aren't always that bothered or interested in some of the content in the storybooks, but I think it's a really helpful process to get familiar with the language that you're using within your family. So that's kind of where we've been at over the last few years. But certainly now, certainly my little boy is a very, very good reader. He likes to read all the books himself now, actually. So we're finding that we're getting more questions. So I would say that the books acted as a brilliant foundation to those stories and to start sort of integrating those conversations within the household around the donor. And we're very similar, but we've always tended to use sperm and egg and a body to grow a baby in. So those are kind of the words we've used, or although my kids call it a sperm worm and a sunshine egg, thanks to Corey Silverberg's book, What Makes a Baby, which we're going to talk about actual specific books in a short while. But the actual little images in that book, which our children have loved actually since they were very young, is the egg is portrayed as a little sunshine. So they call it a sunshine egg. And obviously sperm is like a, almost like a little worm on, well, we'd say that as adults expect as well, but they've kind of used that as their terminology. But now I think we're obviously talking more about the donor and how that maybe plays into their identity and things like DNA and genetics. So yeah, very similar it sounds, Becky, to your family at the moment.
And how often are you having these conversations? Because this is something I often think, oh gosh, we've not spoken about it for a month, 6 weeks. Should I be doing this more? What would you say in terms of your children?
I would say it fits and starts, probably. We'll go for a phase of maybe picking the book up and they might want to read it or read it themselves or have us read it for a few nights on the trot. Or it could go months, really, without actually the topic coming up. Like I say, when we were using storybooks more, we would maybe instigate that process and say, oh, do you want, should we sit down and read this book? Certainly, because you're probably similar, Becky, you've probably been sent different types of children's storybooks to do with donor conception over the years. Between us, we've got quite a collection, which is fantastic, which is great to see. Yeah. But because you get a new book, maybe come in, the kids be like, oh, what's that? So you'd maybe sit down and read it. So, but I think now that they're getting a bit older, the conversations around their conception story are actually more integrated into everyday life. And what I mean by that is that they might have a question, or they might ask something about the donor, or we may actively introduce some of the concepts. So we might talk about, for example, my children are very, very tall. My wife's very tall as well. And we used her eggs, obviously, for treatment. But the donor's very tall that we're aware of. So we will mention that and say, well, yeah, did you know the man that helped Mammy and Mama to make you? He's really tall too. He's got, you know, really long legs. And just kind of those conversations, I would say, is probably becoming more prominent. Yeah. In our family.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd say the same as well. Even I was just actually remembering this morning I was doing Eska's hair and putting it in little pigtails, and she said, "Mommy, why is my hair not as long like some of her friends at school?" And Eska's always had the slowest growing hair that I've ever known. She was bald for the first three years of her life.
Yeah.
And it's just coming down now, and I can start doing things with it. And some of her friends in her class, their hair is literally down their backs. And I just said, well, it's just your DNA, sweetheart. That's just how your body like always tells your hair to grow, and it will grow. And I said, maybe your donor had slow growing hair as well. It's just always like little things where you could just like wonder, and you're not saying that is where she gets it from, but I remember seeing Matt with quite a full head of hair, but he never grew it when he was younger, so it's hard to really say it's from one side or the other. But I think it is just those little things where you can bring it in. And I think the other thing I've tried to do with Mila, and this was a little while ago, was to try and kind of put our story in the context of some of her friends as well, to almost get her, because I don't know whether they almost take on the fact that, and I don't want it to be like, oh, this is really different and you are different, but also just to say that, look, our family stories is a little bit different, because actually your friend Matilda, she comes from her mummy's egg and her daddy's sperm. And she looks a bit like her mummy and her daddy at the same time, whereas you don't come from mummy's egg, but you do come from daddy's sperm. So you do look like daddy. And I would guess that you look very much like the person who donated eggs. So it's little things like that where it's almost just trying to make it more real, but in a really kind of casual way. And she's just like nodding along, oh, right, okay. And I don't think there really has been a real penny drop moment yet. But it's just, like we say, I think we always talk about planting seeds, don't we? Yeah. Just a little seed, just to say, oh, maybe your hair is like that because it might come from the lady who donated eggs to us. And just to drop those things in so that when they start piecing things together, and actually I remember one time Mila, and this was probably a couple of years ago now, out of nowhere, just was sat in the car and went, I think I know why I've got blue eyes and why I've got curly hair. I think our donor put, or the egg donor put, some blue and a curl in my egg.
Yeah.
And that's why, and I thought, she's starting she to piece that together. But whether it, or not she still, whether or not she still sees her, like, sees her yet as a real human being, I think that's the kind of the next bit of the concept. Because you read a storybook and it might have a teddy bear who depicts the donor, or it might be very much like What Makes a Baby, where it's more about the ingredients, let's say, the egg and the sperm. And I think what has really helped us to almost bring it to life a bit more is the most recent book that we've had, which is the We Are Family books, which is the personalised book that we put together with the lovely Charlotte, who has spoken on Paths to Parent Hub. And within that, we were able to tell just what is our story. It's really personalised. It talks about our journey to have Mila and then our journey to have Eska and Lena. And you can put photos in there from your journey. So there's bits about when Matt and I got together and all the way through. And then also there's a page where it actually shows a wide variety of women on that page. And the one in the middle is the one that matches our donor's characteristics. And that for them, I think, was much easier to go, oh, I think that's her. I think that's her. And it just allowed us to almost paint a bit more of a picture and wonder a bit and just make it a bit more real, I think, in that sense. And they have really, really loved that book, and particularly Eska, who I used to find her, and Lena actually as well. They've both been through different stages where I'd find them in bed asleep with it. And yeah, I think it is that evolution of from telling what is a very, very simple children's story to actually bringing to life their own story as well. And I know you've got one of those books, Hayley, and have you found the same in terms of being able to develop the story?
Yeah, I think because it is so personalised, I mean, there's lots of storybooks out there that are really helpful, but I think with the personalised options, yes, you do pay more money, but for that, you do get a book that is very unique to your family. So whether that's photographs or little caricatures that look just like yourselves, and like even down to, like you say, like scan photos, you can put all of these things in this particular book that we're talking about. And our children have really responded to that. And similarly, with the donor situation, if you want to, you can put some more information, if you got it, about the donor into these books. And like you say, I think it is a process of kind of just giving this little pieces of information to our children. I think parents worry a lot whether or not our children understand. And I know we go into it in great depth around the different stages of childhood development with Dr. Avi on a series that we've got on the Hub membership, haven't we, which is some amazing three-part series splitting our children's ages into categories all the way to the teenage years. And it's quite crazy to think back, to look forward to the teenage years and what to expect. But I think those sessions are quite helpful because sometimes I think as parents, we maybe worry about what our children should be understanding at what age, and those sessions are quite helpful of kind of reassuring us, isn't it? And then we can, you know, go back to the books and things for more support. Yeah. I've certainly noticed our children have responded very positively to the, like you say, the more personalised books, because they can see themselves, I suppose, a little bit reflected back, and we all like that, don't we?
Yeah. So definitely. And I think let's go back to those kind of early days, because I also feel that as a parent, I've become so much more confident in talking about it. Whereas I think I did a post very recently about the fact that at the beginning, I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, when I first read Happy Together children's book with Mila. And now I'm kind of occasionally dropping it into conversation. I'm thinking, oh, let's try talking about it with this. Not ever so often. And I will reiterate that again, because I don't want people to think that literally every day we're having this conversation, because we aren't. There's so too many other things going on in terms of parenting, school, remembering what day's PE kit and everything else. That those early days, I wouldn't have been able to imagine myself having the conversations that I'm having now. And I think that's why it's so important for us to talk about these like emotions that surround this as well, because I don't want anyone to think that because they feel scared because they feel emotional when they're first telling this story, that they're not going to be able to have these conversations, because you do grow. It's almost about your resilience around it and your confidence. And actually, a bit of emotion isn't a bad thing. I think actually it shows it's a human process. This is something that you've been through. And I think it showing vulnerability isn't a bad thing with our children. I think that can be a really good thing to be able to do. So for me, that has changed. I think I want to say that as well. And obviously, Hayley, you come from a two-mum family, and this is something that when it was introduced to you as an idea, as donor conception, is probably something that you've always thought would be a potential idea. And rather than the dramatic shift in path that I think we had. So for you, did you feel like that at the beginning?
Yeah, I think when it came to, I mean, it was always a path that we then considered. So there was no, I suppose, shock that we would need a sperm donor in order to build our family, if that was the route we were going to go down. But I think we still had these kind of conversations and all the emotions that come around things like language and terminology, for example, and we still, I think, struggled a little bit trying to decide what we felt comfortable using as a family and what we were going to do. And again, how we were going to integrate that into our story. And I think regardless of the kind of family setup you're in, I think some of these things can be all relevant, can't they? And I think, again, I think it's really important what you said, Becky, about reassuring parents that certainly if you're listening to this and you're got a very, very young child or even just considering donor conception, it's a process that you go on, I think. And some of the discussions we've had about dropping it into conversation probably seem extremely frightening and scary and might not even be able to imagine yourself being able to do that with your child. But it does come as a process. And we've spoken before, Becky, haven't we? I'm a huge fan of things like of research. Love nothing more than to sit and read a journal article. And there's been, we're not just talking about storybooks because we found them helpful. They've actually been shown to be really helpful in research. Studies have been done on the efficacy of reading children's storybooks and how positive it can be in not only increasing parents' confidence, but also in the perception of how well their children go on to understand their story. Mm. And there was a great study in 2021 on specifically the Our Storybook, by the Donor Conception Network. Other children's storybooks are available. But this particular study was really interesting. And there was 108 respondents, and after reading these storybooks to their children, 90% of parents reported feeling more confident in what language to use. And I think that's just a huge example of how they can work. If people are interested in that study, we'll drop the study. It's freely accessible and we'll put it in the show notes. So, yeah, and like I say, but the other side is that we don't need to be talking about it all of the time. I think we say talk early and often, but not talk early and often all of the time. I think that's another important point to make, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think if you're listening to us, we'll always talk about when you talk to your child rather than if you talk to your child. I think we are huge advocates for telling. I actually remember once when I first launched the podcast, somebody on Facebook, and I think that was the one person that gave a 1-star review. So if you're listening to this, please help us counter that, because everything else has been 5-star by rating and reviewing. But this person was really disappointed that we weren't talking and sharing stories and almost advocating for the option of not telling your children. And that I just know, I mean, from research, from my own perspective and speaking with so many donor conceived people, this is information that they deserve to know. And I think as we're talking about this, our story and the story just doesn't end when we have the baby and we finally got that child in our arms. That's the start of a new story. And I think it is so important to do that. So you'll always hear us talking about when and we'll support in the how and help with that confidence through Paths to Parenthood. But we are very much advocates for telling your children early and often from that early age, not only for their benefit, but for yours as well, because I think there's no secrets then. You are being open, you're being honest. And I actually think that stronger bonds can be built on the back of that. And I know, obviously, Hayley, from your own experience, you didn't learn until later on in life. And I almost want to touch on the why it is so important to tell.
I think if we can integrate these stories from a young age, again, we get confident as parents and that kind of transfers hopefully over to our children. And there is no shock discovery. Sadly, that's what I had, very, very late in life in my 30s and was told about my conception story and that my lovely dad that raised me wasn't, in fact, my, genetic father. And I think, yes, there's plenty of research out there now and accounts from donor conceived people that are now talking about maybe being the result of a late discovery situation. And I think, like I say, I bang about this subject, bang on about this subject till for years to come, I think, but hopefully, things are moving in the right direction. But I think whilst we, I think all appreciate the importance of telling our children when young, I think we also accept and acknowledge that that can be very difficult for some people still. And that's why we do what we do, don't we, Becky? And we offer the support that we do on the Hub and all of the other resources that we provide, whether it's through social media or through some of the other free resources, is, you know, it can be a difficult process.
Yeah. And within Paths to Parent Hub, what you'll find is that there is the community within the app. So you can chat to other people who are at a similar stage. There's a pregnancy and parenting after donor conception virtual connection group that happens every month. So you can actually speak to people. And then, like we said, we've got a resource list of different books you can use. There are multiple webinars now with different professionals, which give that guidance in an age-appropriate way. And it's always done with compassion and understanding about how difficult this is. It's not a stand there and say, you must do this and this is how you do it. It's all about understanding that, yeah, this is emotional. It's difficult. It can be hard to find the words and it can bring back different emotions as well. But what we really want is for parents to feel supported on this journey, because ultimately, as the research that Hayley just talked about, that will help you, and also it will ultimately help our children as well. Just to finish this podcast, I just wanted to do a quick, because I think it's always useful to give some takeaways in terms of what would be your top three books, Hayley, for talking to your children that you've used, and then I'll share some of ours as well, just so that if anyone's listening, they can go, actually, I'm going to have a look at these.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are quite a few titles out there now, which is fantastic because you've got lots of choice and lots of different family types. But I think one of my favourite is My Donor Story, which the author is a lovely lady called Sharon Leia, who actually provided our book of the event last time, wasn't she, for our event that we had in Leeds. So every event member had a copy of her book. And what was great about these books, great for our event, is that the books can be very specific to your individual family setup. So whether you're two mums or a mum or dad, or whether you used an embryo donor, sperm donor, like literally Sharon, I'm not quite sure how she's done it, but you can get a book for every different family setup or donor situation, which I think is fantastic. And what I do like about her books is that she doesn't shy away from maybe some of the more challenging themes, I think, that some books don't always cover. Things, you know, like acknowledging the donor and things, like I say, I won't go into too much of the detail of the book because I'd like you guys to go and get one, but she refers to things like blueprints and that, you know, when referring to the donor and the building blocks and all these kinds of things. And I just really think it's a great way of introducing some of these concepts to our children and encouraging more conversation. So I definitely recommend that book. So that's My Donor Story books. I think What Makes a Baby, I'm a huge fan. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast episode, Corey Silverberg. My children particularly have absolutely loved that book and I would highly recommend it. And it's also applicable for literally any type of family. And I think what I like specifically about this book is certainly for LGBTQ members of our community. It doesn't talk about gender. It doesn't talk about sexuality. It's very neutral in lots of ways. And so I think that's a fantastic book. So those are my kind of top two. I mean, a third, I mean, like I say, there's probably, like I do like Our Story from the DCN because that was one of the first books that we did actually buy. Those are the three that I would say that are more specific to donor conception. But they're, like I say, there's lots of other titles that we list on the Hub, don't we? We've got a resource there with loads of other books on there that you could choose from.
Yeah. And I think what's amazing now is that there is a real choice. And I think you can look at what works right for you and you can explore different books. And yeah, I think for us, as I've mentioned, Happy Together children's book has always been a good one from an early age. It's the teddy bear. It's the chance to kind of talk about it. And again, you can get that in different family types as well. And actually, as a bit of a announcement, Julie, who is the author of Happy Together children's book, her daughter is now, I think, 9, kind of moving into that next phase as well. And she's actually going to be on the recipient parent panel for our virtual summit at the end of April. And Julie just speaks so brilliantly about this topic and has done a lot of kind of listening and learning with donor conceived people as well. So I'm really looking forward to having her speak. Another one that's been really helpful for us is Robo Babies. And the reason for this is just because it is quite generic and has allowed us to talk about how not all families are made in the same way, that some families need help in different ways. So you've got a chance to talk about surrogacy, adoption, you've got a chance to talk about donor sperm, donor eggs, double donation. You can basically weave your story into this book. And it's just a way of kind of saying that all families are made in different ways. You could talk about that some families have two mums, some have two dads, some have a solo mum, and different ways that you can kind of bring. Because what I really want to do is not just focus on our family when I'm talking about this. I want to talk about the real spectrum of different families. And I think that's a really good thing to be able to teach our children. And then I think finally, I mean, I would have said what makes a baby, because I think that's a great way as well to talk about those things. But actually, one book that we've got now that I really like, I think is going to really come in handy during the evolution of this story with the girls, is The Secret Code Inside of You. And again, this book isn't about donor conception in particular, but it's all about DNA and how DNA works and how you get certain characteristics from your genetic parents, genetic origins. But also what it really nicely does is acknowledges that nature forms part of who you are as well. So there's lines such as like, sort of, your eyes might be blue, and but you choose where to look, and another thing. So you can kind of really weave in that actually, yeah, you probably have got your curly hair from the egg donor, but also at the same time, you enjoy this particular food, you enjoy this, and we laugh together about this. There's certain things that we do together, and it's a chance to kind of celebrate all of those different things in a really factual way. And you are teaching them about DNA, and you're not having to go into sex education. I think some people worry about these conversations. Are we talking about sex education too early to children? No, you're just talking about how they came to be and how different families are made. And I think those sort of tools give you that script to build your story around. And that's, so I'd say they would be my three recommendations. And we'll put these in the show notes so that you have got them available. Hayley, just tell us about how people can get their tickets for the event just before we go.
Yeah, so like I say, if all goes to plan as you're listening to this, you should hopefully be able to buy an early bird ticket. So that we thought that we'd, like I said, we want this event to be as accessible as possible to people, trying to keep costs down. So yeah, you can grab yourself an early bird ticket for £27. So what's that, about $35 if you're over in the States? So you can get that by going over to Path to Parent Hub website. There'll be a section there for to do with our event, and you can go down and, like I say, grab a ticket and grab your seat. And like Becky mentioned, if you're sadly not able to make it on the day, then you will have a period of time 2 weeks after the event to watch back. Or even if you enjoy the event so much that you think, oh, I really want to go back and listen to that section again from, you know, one of the speakers or one of the donor conceived people, for example, you've obviously got the flexibility to do that. So yeah, hopefully as you're listening, you can tap on the website and grab yourself a ticket.
Yeah, and there are a limited number of early bird tickets as well. So yes, do get in early if you want to come. And I know there will be people in different time zones. It's unfortunately, we can't cater for every time zone to be live, but hopefully the ability to watch it back will mean that you can also benefit from all of these different speakers that we're curating and pulling together to create this event. And also just want to say a huge, huge thank you to Apricity, who have sponsored the Paths to Parent Hub Virtual Summit as well. They are very invested in making sure that this additional support is available for their patients, but also to the wider community as well. So we're really grateful for that. And on that note, I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Next month, we will do another podcast episode next month. We're going to make sure at least we get one out a month. And the theme for next month on Paths to Parent Hub is all about choosing your donor. So if you're at that stage, it could be some really useful information for you. And yeah, as always, we'd love to hear from you, feedback from this episode, or if there's anything in particular you would like us to talk about with that theme in next month's episode as well. So thank you, Hayley, again, for your wise words of wisdom.
I'm not sure how wise they are, but you're welcome, Becky, and thanks for everyone listening. And just to reiterate, if any feedback or anything you'd like us to talk about in future episodes, please get in touch. And please rate and review if you can. I know it does take a little bit of time out of your day, but if you do find these episodes valuable or helpful in any way, it really helps us reach more people and get that support out there. So please, if you can, just spare a few moments to rate and review. So take care until next time.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.